we were to evaluate human life in general, we are going through tremendous amount of grief and pain, even though sometimes we choose not to reflect upon it. I come up with this simple statement not only as a result of our current economy or as a result of the plight of Muslims, regardless of where they may be in the world, but I would like to share with you some incidents that has taken place in this given environment itself. You would recall that last week we spoke about Sayyidina Ikrimah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and one of the things that we covered in discussing him, where we spoke about how horrid a person he was, how violent a person he was, and despite his level of violence and animosity towards good people, his wife, after converting to Islam, took great pride in giving him the call of Islam to bring him into the fold of Islam. Here we see a woman playing a major role in changing the life of another human being, in this case, her husband. And it was as a result of her creating a transformation in his life. In today's time, men also have certain issues. It may be financial issues. It may be emotional issues. It may be matters that the man may be embarrassed about, but with the appropriate comfort of the wife or appropriate comfort of the daughters, she can create tremendous amount of change in his life to make him the very best. This is one thing we can deduce from the story of Ikrimah radiallahu ta'ala and his family. Another outcome of the story is the fact that despite him being a hate monger, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only forgave him, but he was able to transform himself from a point of negativity to the point of positivity. That is what that story basically was all about. Now, as I started at the beginning, we have a lot of pain in our lives. And generally, as a result of our pain, when someone says something, we redefine it for our personal gain and pleasure. People have misunderstood the story, and as a result of emails and questions that have come forth, many people have asked me, well, did you mean this as a result of certain community problems? Or did you say that we must get along because of certain social events that you may have heard about in our families? My brother, my sister, as much as I love your family, I'm not going to make your family the highlight of my talk. And as much as you may think that the community have problems, in relation to the problems that I hear on a regular basis, your problems and our community problems are minuscule as to what is happening in the real world. Also, I mentioned, now as you can tell from the story of Ikrimah, there is female empowerment that is occurring. There is empowerment for the community, empowerment for the individuals, etc. Again, talking of pain, previously I spoke about the family of the Khalif, where the wife is saying to the Khalif, I can understand your animosity towards me. Regardless of how much animosity you place upon me, you will never be able to get me out of the fold of Islam. That's what the story is stating. How do people interpret it? Well, the Imam does not mind violence in the family, and he is saying that if men are violent, it is okay, and a woman must endure. Now, that's not what the story is saying. The story is actually saying that the woman is so pious that she is telling her husband, you can do whatever you wish to do with me, Allah will deal with you. And Allah will deal with you in a manner that can be even more brutal than the manner in which you are dealing with me. This is what the story is stating. But we have pain because we may have abused someone. We as ourselves may have gotten abused. And as a result of us going through that negativity, we begin to redefine what is being stated because our minds have become so cluttered, unfortunately. Therefore, there is a manner in which we detox ourselves. There is a manner in which we cleanse out the rubbish that is in our hearts and minds. And as individuals that have understood the dynamics of social research, we realize something very critical and fundamental. In order to create maximum psychological growth, also the manner in which we can create maximum spiritual growth, these two things can only take place. The idea of maximum spiritual growth and psychological growth is when we live in the company and we associate with individuals, primarily our peers, that are sharing the same values that we have. If we associate with people that are going to contradict our values and social system, this inhibits our growth on every level, whether it is secular growth or whether it is spiritual growth. Social scientists have also proven that when you are with individuals that are not like yourself and are not seeking the same outcome, our body goes through and our mind goes through what is known as anxiety. Anxiety is a state of discomfort. So when we are around people that are not like us, and when we are around people that contradict our value system, automatically a state of disequilibrium takes place. Now the body has to fight that, because as humans, one thing we hate is we hate to be in an environment of conflict. Yes, there may be conflict around us, that is true. However, as humans, we don't like to be part of that given environment. And once we are placed in that environment and we do not find a way to get out of it, there are certain things we have to do with our body, with our limbs, with our mental processes, etc. When we have wrongful guidance, and simultaneously you are in an environment of conflict or in an environment that you are not used to, and wrongful advice comes your way, automatically you begin either to shatter or do wrongful things. And once you end up doing wrongful things, you hurt yourself and those around. That is why you notice in families of poverty, in families of pain, in families of grief, in families of violence, in families of discomfort, generally the outcome of that is further conflict and grief. When you have negativity around you and you don't get out of that box, you do not go for the appropriate therapy or you do not meet up with the appropriate people, then that negativity festers itself and continues itself in yourself. And when that happens, as an individual, you begin to suffer with making wrongful decisions. That is why the ulama have stated there is what is known as a detoxing process that must take place. If you and I want greater growth in our life, then what we must do is not only take part in greater levels of prayer, but take part in higher levels of meditation. And by taking part in higher levels of meditation, we will be able to acquire a higher level of identification system between ourselves and that of our Creator. Coming back to the data that we are talking about, research has also proven that when we are in negative environments, we fester negativity, and this reduces our level of dignity. Because when you are in a negative environment, you take part in abuse. Whatever that abuse may be. Sometimes it may be the greater forms of abuse of, Lord forbid, molestation, etc. And the lower forms of abuse are yelling unwantedly, screaming at the wrong person, being nice to the wrong people. Yes, we must be nice to all people. But sometimes what happens is, a person is abusive and we are good to the criminal. But when a man and woman is trying to change their life, we are sort of, instead of motivating them, we are more abusive towards them. The environment we are part of affects us. In order to create a better internal environment, we have to become observant of the external environment. This is very, very critical. To become stronger internally, to have a stronger heart and stronger mind, we have to become observant of that which is out there. And we must not let that which is out there affect us and infect us negatively in as far as our heart and mind is concerned. To illustrate this, rather than talking about it, let me give you a simple example. There was a man, he had the machinery for over 10 years and he wanted to sell it. He and his wife decided that since there are some issues in their life, they will take that machinery to the auction and they will have that auctioneer sell it off. Anyway, they go there, the individual that is about to sell it gives him an interview and they write down information regarding that machine and the family that used that machine, and later on they began taking bids. They saw that the bids were not coming very fast, so the auctioneer began saying, as far as this machine is concerned, it was owned by Mr. So-and-so and such and such company for 10 years. The man that owned this machine managed to raise 7 to 10 children. Each one of them went to lucrative universities. The man that owned this machine has a wonderful, not just family, but has thrived in the area of business to the point where he was able to afford not just a sports car for the weekend, but drives around in a Bentley, managed to give his children a wonderful wedding, and made a lot of ta'rif, a lot of praise regarding this machine in as far as the amount of revenue it was able to generate. When this man heard this about his machine, he says, you know what, I want to buy that machine back. I want to buy the machine. And he gave a high price and took that machine back home. His wife said, husband, what's going on with you? I mean, you just said the machine doesn't work. He says, but do you know the potential of this machine? This machine is powerful. It produced such and such family. My dear respected Muslim brothers in Islam, this is exactly what is taking part in our lives. We are praising ourselves, we are giving glory to ourselves, we are giving glory to our families, because as I said in the beginning, we want to reduce the amount of dissidence in our head, in our mind. Fitzgerald talks about, he's a researcher, he talks about dissidence. And as far as humans are concerned, they want to always reduce the amount of emotional conflict. Because they don't like the pain they are going through. But the method we are using to reduce our pain is wrong. Now how can we reduce that pain? It's simple. We have come here to the masjid. On the way coming to the masjid, we have made certain promises to ourselves. And one of the promises are, we want to change our lives. We are coming to the masjid because we want to become better people. However, we have to ask ourselves, whilst we are here, what are our thoughts? Whilst we are in this place of worship, what are our thoughts? Is our thoughts on college? Is our thoughts on money? Is the thoughts on our business? Is there a thought as to, well, is he saying something but he means something else? Is our thought on, well, what does he mean and what is his life like? And the questions will continue to come to our mind. We have to ask ourselves, when we let these negative thoughts come, the only thing that we are hurting and the only individual that we are hurting through the level of negative thoughts is ourselves and the identification between ourselves and our Creator. So therefore, one way to remain focused and don't become like this man in the story that buys back his own machine, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ, that the believer, one of the things they do is they sell themselves to the Creator. And the way in which they sell themselves to the Creator is by making rightful decisions, by letting go of the wrong in exchange of that which is the right. And whilst we come to the environments of good, such as spiritual environments, we cannot let negativity hurt us. Now the question is, how do we create this love between ourselves and our Creator? This is a very, very fundamental question. In order to bring clarity, we have to ask, what are the maximum thoughts that go through our mind on a daily basis? That is basically who you are. The ulama have stated, when you are sending a report to a scholar for spiritual change, one of the things they ask you is to categorize the various thoughts that go through your mind. And you must write that down. Every day you must write that down and put it at one side, put it one side. And end of the week you take all those papers and you hand it to the scholar. A spiritual, a genuine spiritual scholar that has your best interest in mind. I'm not talking the regular scholars that will do this for you with certain ulterior motives. I'm talking about the sincere and the genuine. And based on the amount of thoughts that go through your mind, number one, and the physical things you have done throughout that time period, they are able to evaluate what type of person you are and what you must do to become the very best. Now there was an individual, and he, you are familiar with him, his name was Junaid Baghdadi. A woman came to complain to him. Now in the beginning, remember I spoke about sometimes we hear certain things, and we hear certain things but we reinterpret it for our benefit. Why? Because we have certain emotions that we have to deal with. Now I'd like to see how many of you wrongfully interpret what I'm going to say. But that's your personal issue, and sometimes when you have wrongful interpretations, that is a good thing because it gives you now the ability to reflect on what is haunting you and what is directing you towards wrongful thinking, ideas, patterns, behavior, etc. She comes to the Shaykh and says, Shaykh, my husband is willing to take a second wife. For those of you that are into the legal profession, that is not something I'm advocating here, and I believe in following the laws of the country. She comes to Junaid Baghdadi and says, my husband wants to take a second wife. I understand that from the religious perspective, that there may not be anything wrong in this, but I cannot comprehend why my husband is doing this or wants to do it. Thereafter she says, oh Sheikh, if I had to lift my veil, if I had to lift my veil and you saw my beauty, you saw my beauty, you will think that my husband is insane in as far as wanting not just to marry another woman, but even look at another woman. Before she could end the statement to the Sheikh, many of you are wondering, well, what was this woman like? And if you are a scholar, you'll be saying, I wish that woman came to me. If you are a wealthy man, you know what thoughts are going through your mind. The Shaykh, when he heard her say this, before she could complete her given thought, automatically he fainted. He just fainted. Some of you are saying, wow, she must be really beautiful. No, she fainted later on. When he gained his composure, the people went to him and asked, Shaykh, what was so great about what she said? I mean, she just said this, she could be lying for all she cares. The Shaykh says, she spoke about her beauty. She spoke about how magnificent she was. When she used the word beauty, that thought that went through my mind, if she is taken by her beauty, and that man is taken by her beauty, and that's why he married her, I'm just wondering, what must be the beauty of my Allah? When I thought of the beauty of my Allah, my vessel, my heart couldn't comprehend it, and as a result of that, it shattered me, and I sort of dropped myself, because I couldn't understand as to how a human could fall for themselves, because when the beauty of Allah is taken into this vessel, it will crush you and take away the desire of everything that is out there. My dear respected Muslim brothers of Islam, we want this beauty. We want this love of Allah to enter our hearts. The only way we could gain this tranquility and love of Allah into our hearts is that if we do the following, we endure if we are put through a struggle. There are two ways you can gain closer to Allah. One is through sabr and the other through shukr. One is if you are going through hardship and you don't manipulate a system. Whatever that system is, you know what you use. And I know what I use to get my way around people. You know what you use as well. Never manipulate the system. And if you make sabr in your situation, Allah will elevate you. The second way, shukr. Shukr. Be grateful as to your situation. Once you do these
these two things, and you make istighfar, and you ask Allah for forgiveness, you will taste the beauty of your faith, whether you are in this place of worship or whether you are out there in the real world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us at all times, help us attain tranquility on every level, and give us the true love and contentment that we are desiring. And the only way you can do it, as I said in the beginning, is to eliminate negativity from your mind and heart and look at things for what they are. Because that is what shaitan doesn't want you and I to do. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ